Okay, as I've been mentioning, so the last couple of weeks, the Maharal, especially on the Parshas of Vayechi, Shmos, Va'erbo, B'shalach, Yitzhar, Mishpatim, the Maharal speaks a lot of, he quotes a lot from his commentary on the Haggadah. He has a number of commentaries. The first piece we're going to do is a piece from his commentary on the Haggadah Shel Pesach, and also the book that he wrote called Gvuros Hashem. The book of Gvuros Hashem is also all about Yetzias Mitzrayim, all about the Exodus. The truth is that the piece that I want to spend the most time is not the first piece, but the first piece is a little bit long. We're going to go through the first piece a little bit quickly to get to the main thing that I really want to talk about, which is really the next couple of pieces. But the first idea is on the pasuk at the very beginning of the parasha, Vayaseh Elokim Esa'am Derech Hamidbar Yamsuf. The Torah goes out of its way to make a point of the fact that Hashem took the Jewish people through the Midbar. Take a look at the first piece. V'chashar Hashem Yisbar Chotzis Yisrael Mitzrayim. When Hashem took the Jewish people out of Egypt, V'asa Lahem Nisim, He made for them miracles, K'dei She'yedu Shmo U'Guraso, V'yedu She'yachal Ligol Osam, Mikol Tzara. He says, when Hashem took the people out of Egypt, it was for the purpose that the Jewish people should know wherever they are, in whatever situation of peril they are in, they will know that Hashem's abilities and His strength are to be able to redeem them from any difficult situation that a Jew finds himself in. Mikol dalad dvarim shetzrichim lahodos. And the Maharal here is going to explain why on Pesach, the number 4 has such a primary significance. And he says the reason for the 4 cups, he's going to say at the very end, the reason for the 4 cups is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says the 4 cups parallel, the Gemara says that there are 4 reasons that a person has to bench Gomel, and 4 reasons why a person brings a Karban Todah. 4 reasons why a person brings a Karban Todah and benches Gomel. That's what he's going to say. There are 4 situations that a person finds himself. Chas v'shalom, a person's in jail and he gets out of jail. I'm not sure if it means like, you know, the current modern day jails where, you know, it's like there's a base medrash in jail and you can get daily minyan in jail. I don't think he means that kind of thing. It used to be when you were in jail, it meant you were like in danger of dying, you know, because they would persecute you in jail. Maybe like, I guess, the Shawshank Redemption type of jail for those people who are following that. But the 4 things are if you were in jail or you were very sick, had a very serious illness and you were healed from it, or you traveled over an ocean, or you traveled through a desert. Those 4 things were considered to be dangerous travel. That's when we bench Gomel or you bring a Karban Todah. So the Maharal says the reason for the 4 cups of wine at the Seder is because at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure that the Jewish people experienced all 4 of those issues, so that we should know for all generations going forward, whatever situation of peril a Jew finds himself in, he always has to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the ability to redeem him, to redeem the people from that. So let's take a look inside. Again, Ulekach, look on the second line. Ulekach Ziv, Vayaseh V'lokim Ezam Derech Hamid Bar Yamsuf. That's where the Torah goes out of its way to say that God took them through via the Midbar and via the Yamsuf. Kikasher ha'yubi Mitzrayim, Gala mi'beis ha'asurim. So in Egypt itself, the first part of the Geula involved redeeming them from jail and illness. Kikasher ha'yubi Mitzrayim, Gala mi'beis ha'asurim. They were considered as if they were in jail in Egypt. Shayim mishubadim l'parah b'mitzrayim ha'yagolam in v'gam gala min'acholi. He also redeemed them from illness. Why? V'zeh kasher hevi Hashem Yitzroach ha'makos ala mitzrim. The mitzrim had all kinds of illnesses, the makos. Kinim, especially, and maybe Shechin, the boils, right? So they were sick with boils and lice. What did the pasuk say in Parshas last week? I am God who heals you. The makos that I put on the Egyptians, he didn't put on the Jews. So that's considered like healing. The Jewish people were considered to be ill. In in Egypt when there was the mark of boils, Zachin Shar Makos, he saved the Jews from that. That's called a refuah. So the Maharal says that not only if you got ill and you got healed, but if everybody else, the whole place, your whole town was ill and you were saved, you didn't get the illness, that's also called being healed. Because the makos were there, Yisrael needs solum and amakos. Ain dome la davar sharagalios ba'olam ki habish in so many call mason but oh I'm sorry but dever avahamakos boala call velo nishar echad v'yisrael nitzolu midavor midever nikar lagamish in this rape v'zeh ken Hashem rofecha k'mo shar chola Hashem yisbarach nosan l'koch lidchos acholi ulefi zeh ki ani Hashem rofecha k'mashmo shenosan l'koch lidchos meyam acholi. Just skipping a little bit. That's it. Well, I don't know. If you were in Chas HaShalom, I don't mean you. If Chas HaShalom person was in concentration camp and the entire place got typhus and the whole place, you know, and then 90% of the people died and you were one of the 10% of the people who didn't get the machla, I don't know. It's good shiloh. You're right. It's a good question, Joel. Halacha l'maisa, would we say such a thing? Very good question. Very good question. But the Maharal, for his purposes, is saying that that's also considered benching goma. That's also considered benching goma. Very good, very good, good ha'ara.
In this then, situation, yeah. But since they were not, you know, anything else that came down the dom, so I did anything, why would those items specifically be something that they were saved by or a kufua when they got nothing else?
Right, okay, I guess all of them, I think, and Maharal will consider all of them being saving, but the other ones happen to not be illnesses. Let's see if he gives something a little bit sharper there. I didn't notice that. V'od, he wants to say, Oz nikrashu chola, well, etzel rabim, kasher hu makam v'choli shel rabim, kasher kvar hischil ha'choli barabim, k'mo shahay etzel ha'mitzrim, shekvar bo ha'makam ha'choli aleyem, avol Yisrael nitzolu, וזהו חולש נסרפה, כי כבר הסחיל המקל של רבים, והוס המקל מהם. ועוד כי בוודאי תשושי כוח היו במצרים. They also probably very weak. They were very weak. כאשר היו משבדים בהם בפרח, עבודה משברת את כוחם. They probably were like had back-breaking labor. ואין לך חולי יוסר מזה. He says the fact that they had back-breaking labor, they were exhausted, they were physically spent, they were mamish on their last few breaths, and he was able to save them from that. That's also called. Aval ein sarach, you know, I don't need that. Ki al kol panim ksiv kol ha-machala, asher samti b'mitzayim lo asam lechi, ani Hashem rof echa. The Torah itself refers to the fact that they didn't get those machalos as refuah. The Torah refers to it. V'chasher galam mishnayim rotz Hashem yisbarach. Oh, now once Hashem in Egypt had redeemed them from two out of the four, rotz Hashem yisbarach shiyu negolam mikol ha-arba shetzichon lo levzesh kaz v'yaseh lo kemet. That's why in our pasuk it says, v'yaseh zam derech ha-midbar yamsuf. You can underline this if you want to, if you have a pen. It's opposite those four things that we have to drink four cups of wine at the Seder. This is in line with the Gemara says in Pesachim in the 10th Parak that we divide those four up to two and two. Two before we were redeemed, and two after. The first two cups of the Seder before the meal symbolize the two that we were redeemed while we were in Egypt, and the two, JLN sickness, and the two afterwards. The Gemara also talks about that. The Gemara has a discussion. I won't go into the details of it right now, but the Gemara has, maybe I should have, but the Gemara has a discussion. Which two? Right? The Gemara says, one opinion says you lean for the first two, but not for the last two. The other says you lean for the last two. So the question is, should you lean for the ones that were during the Shibud? That's where we really experience. Or should we really lean about the ones that were after? The Gemara has a discussion. V'ashnayim shetiknu lifnei asudah hayin al shem shnayim shayu lifnei agula. Chol yu beis ha'asur. V'ashnayim la'achar asudah al shem shnayim shayu la'achar agula. Yamu midbar. Oh, v'ahachi amrin perak arvi p'sachim kishnayim shen lifnei asayim kodem agula. Ki agulu kasher omen baruch atah shem ga'al Yisrael. Right, when you drink the second cup. V'ashnayim shem la'achar asudah hayim achar agula. V'al yikshik ki kasher shosim b'la pesach arba kozis. You know, even though we drink them all Pesach night, which is before the Jewish people actually left, Don't ask that. Kasha, kikasha, galasam, yitzayim, galasam, ulakacham lo la'am bin yizesh, yunigalam, mechal arba dvar v'sher amardu. Let's skip a little bit. Aval akasav, four lines from the banal akasav, ba'alama ki adayin lohayu konim ha'amuna, she'il ha'ashem yisparach osam, mikal tzar, v'igayim yiru mechal miyashuv v'mitzrayimah. Ulafikach v'yaseh v'lukim v'oz yiknu emuna shlema. Ulafikach b'leil ha'yitziyah she'galas Yisrael shosan arba kosos, ki ha'gula azos she'ya Eloheihem v'ligol osam mikal tzara. That's what he's trying to teach us with this, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the ability, any matzav of peril that a Jew finds himself in, the Ribbono Shel Olam has the ability to redeem him. Asher nichlu ba'arba dvar mechulakam asher ein zeh kamo shehiz bar l'malo. V'kach roi l'sakin arba kosis b'lai l'zeh. And he said, this is what we mean. V'otzeisi v'yitzalati v'gati v'lakati. Look at the next line. V'tikna arba kosim kos for a few psukim that are related to this. Number one, part that we say in Halal. Kos Yeshuos Esa uv'shem Hashem Eka. Kos Yeshuos Esa. That lifting up a cup, that's what symbolizes Yeshua. David HaMelech says that when I want to show that God saved me from something, so I lift up a cup. Kos Yeshuos Esa, Ubishem Yeshua. The Dalet Kosos are there to commemorate the four Yeshuos. That's number one. Vizeh Shamar Kitit Narbakos Kenegad Arba Lashonah Shel Gula. That's also what Chazal mean when they say they had the four languages of Gula. Votseisi Vitzati Vigati Vilakati Vela Arba Gulas Kikashagosh Mizrak Golasam. Okay, this is the shot number one. This is the first point. Correct. So there, I think what he's trying to say is like this, Joel, that there, the Kiddush has a different function. It has a function of sanctifying the day. It's a different aspect. Yeah. Oh, I mean the lifting. I mean, I wasn't referring so much about the lifting. I just meant that we hold the cup. I carry. Esa, I guess, means like I carry it. So I carry a cup as a symbol of Yeshua. But you're right. I think by Kiddush it's a different carry. There, it's more for the purpose of sanctifying the day on the cup. Correct. Oh, now here's the next point is really one of the main points I wanted to speak about. Fascinating. Three important life lessons from one Rashi. I think this is clearly a Rashi. I think you'll enjoy this because this is a Rashi that I know that I never noticed. I never noticed this Rashi, ever. And just this year, Baruch Hashem, with the study of the Maral, I'd like you to take a look inside the Chumash if you can. If you don't have one, there's a trolley right back there that has some more Chumashim. So take a look at the Rashi on Yud Dalet Zayin. Yud Dalet Zayin. Here we'll do a little analysis for those people who like analysis. They don't just like the Hashkafa. Let's look at the analysis. Here we go. Rashi says, like an innocent pasuk, very innocent pasuk. Vayikach sheish meos rechav bachor. Paro took 300 outstanding chariots. V'chol rechav Mitzrayim. And then he took all the rest of the chariots, apparently, which weren't so outstanding, you know, they had their revolutionary guards, and then they had the rest of the army. They had the Sayeret Makal, that was the Sheish Mios Rechav Bachor, the Tzanchanim, that was the Sheish Mios Rechav Bachor, and then you have the rest of the army, right? The Chol Rechav Mitzrayim. Stam, we never noticed that in the Pasuk. At least I never did. Vayikach Sheish Mios Rechav Bachor, he took, first of all, the leaders in the army were the Tzanchanim, the Chol Rechav Mitzrayim, then he took everybody else, V'shal Hashem Al Kulo. So Rashi is bothered by where do the Egyptians have animals with which to lead the chariots? You know, chariots required in the times of the Bible. Chariots required animals to lead them. Now, between Barad and Dever, all the Egyptians' animals, Lachora, should have already been wiped out. So let's take a look. And they couldn't take the Jewish ones because Moshe Rabbeinu said, we're taking all our own animals, power. You're not. Even he said, you're even going to give us animals. So where they have animals from? Let's take a look at Rashi. Umehechan, I'm about eight lines from the bottom in Rashi. Seven lines from the bottom. Second paragraph. Second column. Umehechan hayu abehemus halalu. Im tomer mishel mitzrayim. Hare nemar vayomos kol mikne mitzrayim. Vim Torah Mishal Yisrael Nemar Gam Kneinu Yelachimanu. Mishal Mihayu Mehayoreis Devar Hashem. If you look in the Chumash, when Moshe Rabbeinu announced Makas Dever and Makas Barad, he said to Paro, those Egyptians that are God-fearing and believe that I'm actually going to bring this, they will bring all their animals inside their barns. And any animals that are in the barns, I remember that from Barad, I don't remember that from Dever, but apparently, both in Barad and in Dever, the Egyptians that believe in God, Paro said, if you believe in God, he gave the Egyptians an out. If you believe in God, if you believe that God's going to do this, and you take your animals and bring them into the barn, your animals are going to be saved. So, says Rashi, where the animals come from, it's from those God-fearing Egyptians that actually brought them inside. Now, listen to the last line of the Rashi. Unbelievable. Amar Rabbi, Mikan Haya Rabbi Shimon Omer. From here, Rabbi Shimon would say, Kosher Shebe Mitzrayim Harog. The righteous, the tzaddikim among the Egyptians, you should kill them. Turn off the recorders. Tov Shebe Nechashim Ratzot Etz Mocho. The best of the snakes, smash its head. What in the world is Rashi talking about? What's Rashi saying? So first of all, the Maharal in the Gurariya, just to give you, so let's take a look inside the Gurariya. Maharal, of course, the Maharal's Gurariya is a commentary that he wrote explaining Rashi. The Gurariya is pretty much exclusively dedicated to defending and explaining Rashi. So, look at the Maharal in the sheets. Kosher Shebagayim Harog. Eina Perish Larog Akosher. Shezeu me'olam lo amru razal. One is supposed to kill the righteous Gentiles? That's Jewish philosophy? To kill righteous Gentiles, says the Maharal, chas v'shalom. That is not what Rabbi Shimon meant in the statement of Chazal, that Jews are supposed to go around killing righteous Gentiles. That's ridiculous. That's not Torah Hashkafa. Ein ha-peres l'arog ha-kosher. Shezeu me'olam lo amru razal. V'yesh l'arog ha-sagoyim. Yes, it's true. Kim haminim v'api korsim. We have a rule. Moridin al son v'lo malin. I'm not going to get into that right now, what that means. That an api korsim, if he's drowning, you don't save his life. Okay, I don't want to. I'm not going to get into that. Aval al agoyim. There is no statement of Chazal. And one of the things that the Maharal, again, I once heard this from a shir from Rabbi Hartman. Rabbi Hartman is the world's expert on Maharal. He comes to America every once in a while. He's actually involved in Hasmonean, that big school in England. Rabbi Hartman is the head of the Beis Medrash there. He's a very, very fine, brilliant, brilliant person, very, very fine person. And so Rabbi Hartman, in his explanation, Maharal says, one of the Maharal's biggest jobs, the Maharal's classic analysis of his approach, he is a complete defender of Mamari Chazal. His whole commentary is, in all of his books, is predicated on defending Chazal. If Chazal, if there's a Gemara, if there's a Medrash, it has to make sense, it has to be defended, it has to be understood at all costs. And that's why he selected Rashi so much, because Rashi quotes all the time from Mamari Chazal, and then Maharal spends the time defending. So he says, Chas v'shalom, this Rashi cannot mean what it seems to be saying, that Jewish philosophy espouses killing righteous Gentiles. Chas v'shalom, it's not what it means. You will never find the Chazal, I guess, outside of this one, that says that one is supposed to kill righteous Gentiles. Chas v'shalom. Look what he says. V'chas v'shalom lo marka. He says, Ela perusho v'chi ha'gavno b'milchama. No, that's what Rashi means over here. When they're running after you to kill you, when even a righteous Gentile, even a from Muslim, or a from Christian who's running after you to kill you, to pogrom you, or to kill you, to murder you. So then, b'milchama, shimba alecha goy l'milchama, v'nofal b'yodcha bo'os l'milchama, and you capture him in that war, al terachim olav klal v'targeu, don't have mercy, kill them. Kasher hayu b'kan shemitzrim bo'o al Yisrael, v'hargo osam ves b'neim, the Egyptians killed us and our children. Right? Pasuk Gimel. What does it say over there in Dvar Mechav Gimel? It says, Amar Aleim Shema Yisrael, Al Yirach Levavchem, Al Tiro Atachmas Atachmanim. Don't have a soft heart when you're in battle. You have to have a strong heart. You have to be tough. When you're a soldier, a chayal tzahal, you have to be tough. You have to be willing to kill, even though it's not the Jewish way. But on the Medina Shel Chesed, recommended reading. I'm now reading Joseph Telushkin's book on the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Incredible, incredible book. Incredible book. Lubavitcher Rebbe used to refer to the United States as the Medina Shel Chesed. The Medina Shel Chesed, the first time in how long in Jewish history the Jewish people are under in a place where they're not persecuting us, they're letting us live with religious freedom. Medina Shel Chesed. On the police and the fire department and the politicians, maybe. Aval al goyim she'asu tova im Yisrael. But on the non-Jews who do favors for the Jewish people, nitzaveinu mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu shelo lasus lehem ra chas v'shalom. Now listen to what he says here. A really incredible point over here. Listen to this point that he makes. Sharei ha-mitzrim asmam shehargu es p'neim. The Egyptians, what did they do to us, the Egyptians? They killed all of our sons. Kol ha-beina yilod ha-yor tashlichu. The shibud ha-kasha she'asu lehem. And they worked us to the bone. Bavush ha-yisrael darim ba-artzam tziva HaKadosh Baruch Hu limol chesed im b'neim. This is incredible. Even though the Egyptians persecuted us and they wanted to kill us, there's a pasuk in the Torah that says that we have an obligation to do chesed to the Egyptians. Shenemar, lo sisayiv mitzri. Don't hate an Egyptian, ki ger ha-yisa ba-artzo, because you lived in their land.
And an Egyptian can
be Can. That's by that pasuk.
But you can't marry it first.
Right. Kol shekin agoyim she'ein osin ra'al li'Yisrael. Madach, he says, the Egyptians who persecuted us, we have an obligation not to hate them, and we are allowed to marry them. Kol shekin agoyim she'ein osin ra'al li'Yisrael. How much more so goyim that don't persecute us and don't kill our firstborn, don't kill all of our sons or all of our kids, and they do good things for us. How much more so that it's forbidden to commit any harm to a righteous Gentile? And not only that, listen to this gentleman, the Gemara in Meseches Bava Kama, Daf Tzadi Beis Amud Beis, the Gemara there learns from this pasuk that says, you may not hate the Egyptian because you lived in his lands. He was your host. You may not hate an Egyptian because he was your host. From that pasuk, the Gemara in Bava Kama Tzadi Beis Amud Beis learned out the following famous dictum. Don't bite the hand that feeds you. Bira d'shasis minei loitishte beikala. The pit, the watering hole that you drank from, don't throw a clod of earth into. Better translated as, don't bite the hand that feeds you. So says the Gemara Bava Kama Tzadi Beis Amud Beis. Hari Chachamim Zal Atzma Mehach Kvar Desiv Lo Sisai Mitzri. From this very pasuk, the rabbis learned that Biro Deshasis Mina Altishte Beikala Kol Shekein HaUmos Hashomer Mes Yisrael Misoneim. How much more so the non-Jews who protect Jews from their enemies? The Chinamar Akosiv Ayomer Shol El Akeni L'Chusur Rudu Misoch Amaleki Peno Sifcha. So therefore, what does Rashi mean in our Rashi? Rashi can't mean that Jewish philosophy dictates that even righteous Gentiles were supposed to kill. Chas v'shalom. That means only a righteous Gentile who's running after you to kill you. Like when the Israeli army shoots into Syria because they see rockets that are being trained on the Jewish people ready to kill. So there, it's permitted to kill. One's obligated to kill before you get killed. Hang on 1 second. Take a look at this incredible comment of the Shita Mekubetzes on that Gemara in Bava Kama, on the bottom of the page, bottom of page 2. Shita Mekubetzes, Bava Kama, Daf Tzadi Beis. This is a departure from the normal commentary of the Shittim Uvetzis. If a kas of Talmudechem, we tell me a Rav Rabbeinu Yosef Alevi Ibn Migash style. That's the Rimigash. Mu'atak mi lashon Aravi. Translated from the Arabic. Amru b'sof hachovo, bira d'shasitz minei, lo tirmei be'kala. The watering hole that you drank from, don't throw a clod of earth into it. That's the Gemara in Bava Kama. Here's habor she'shasisa mimen, lo tashlich bo even, o davar acher, kloma lo tizalza bo, lo tigma lo sora. Something that you benefited from, don't rank on and don't destroy it. A person who benefited from something, it's not appropriate for him to do anything negative. Right? Why were the first three makos had to be done by Aaron? Because the Yamsuf had provided protection from Moshe. Even though it was the very Yamsuf that killed all the other babies of the Jewish people, but Moshe Rabbeinu was obligated to show Hakar Satov to the Yam. And the third makah, Kinim, was smacking the land, and Aaron had to do that one too because the land had covered over the body of the Mitzrayim and protected Moshe, even though Paro actually ended up finding out about it anyway. So still, but since the land had provided a service for Moshe, Moshe couldn't hit the ground to bring out the lice. The Siper Rabbeinu Zal, Al Rabo Harif Zal, listen to this. The Rimi Gash, one of the holy Rishonim, told a story about his Rebbe, the Rif. The Rif, one of the great Rishonim. Listen to this. She'ir lo inin zeh im ish echad, v'lo ratza ladan oso klal, k'deish lo yadan oso b'mash, v'yovo lo hezeg v'enu, v'nim na zeh m'niya gemura, v'zeh she'uz al chala, the Rif was once sick. V'nech na seh tzalad amechad b'merchatz. Now he was sick on a journey in a town, and this balabas in the town saw the Rif was sick, and he let him use his bathroom. I guess he had a stomach virus. So the Rif had a stomach virus, so the guy let him use his bathroom. Some guy in the town. Pemerchat shehoyla bebeso. Sorry, I got to just pause to breathe. Benishalami amerchat sanitzkar achakakas achak zimino so sheyoshav etzalat sheyavri. So then the Rif used this guy's bathroom, and then he let the guy live in his house for a week afterwards till he healed. And later on, the guy became poor. The yard, he lost all his money. And he was obligated to sell his bathhouse and dismantle the bathhouse and sell it to somebody else as part of a court case that he had lost all his money and he had to give away this bathhouse that the Rif had once used. He had to give away this bathhouse to somebody else. And the Rif refused to be the judge on the Din Torah of the dismantling of this bathhouse because the Rif one time had benefited and been saved by this bathhouse. He refused to paskin on the Din Torah about a bathhouse. What is this? V'amar Rabbeinu Yitzchak Zal, lo adun v'lo oreth, b'merchat hazeh, lo b'mecher v'lo b'shum, I'm not going to evaluate its value. I'm not going to be involved in the sale. Since I benefited from this bathhouse, the Rif refused to be a judge. He was the judge of the town. He refused to be a judge to sit adjudicate the court case that had to do with this bathhouse. Because I sat on that toilet, I'm not going to judge. I'm not going to judge. I can't judge that bathhouse. If the Rif felt this way about an inanimate bathhouse, about a toilet seat that he had nothing, it has no feelings, it has no kavachomer bnei adam amagishim hezer without she is a shin la sos soni la sosa vaoseo yotzim mishuras hamusar v'derech eretz. How much more so a rabbi who you learned Torah from, I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about a rabbi who you learned Torah from to sit and say nasty things at the Shabbos table about the rabbi who you get listen to shiurim from and you hear Torah from. How much more so do you have to thank Hashem and not to do anything that Hashem is going to be unhappy with? Wow. So I learned three important lessons in this Rashi. First, I don't bite the hands that feed you. A person learns in yeshiva, Right, you learn in the yeshiva and you grow and you develop and you have your Rebbe there, and all people can do is all they do is rank on the yeshiva. All they do is point out all the problems in the yeshiva, all the negatives, and this was terrible, and that rabbi, and this thing. And they don't have a karas itself, what they got out of the place. Don't bite the hand that feeds you. Right, the guy's going to be a Rebbe in the yeshiva. He was a Rebbe in the yeshiva for many years, and then he says, you know, I had enough of the place. I'm going to start a competing yeshiva to destroy the other yeshiva and throw it. I can do it better. I can destroy the other yeshiva. You can't bite the hand that feeds you. Be with the shasas minay. I'll teach them a color. We have to have appreciation. A person davens in a shul. He davens in a shul. You have to have appreciation for the shul you daven. All people daven in a shul. All you hear from them is, this is a problem, and that's a problem, and this is negative about the shul, and this is nasty, and this is a problem. Right? You send your kid to yeshiva, he gets an education. All you can hear, all you have to say, some people, all they have to say, you can never hear one positive word. In 10 years, you're not going to hear one. All year is this was a problem, and the lights and the thing, and the bathrooms don't work, and it's too cold, and the heat doesn't work, and they never shovel the walk. And all you hear, you don't bite the hand that feeds you. That's part of a Jewish attitude. It's supposed to have hakaras tzav. I learned three things from this Rashi. Number one, even a righteous non-Jew, even a righteous Arab, if he's out to kill you, you have to kill him first. That's hard to know sometimes with that. It's hard to know. Who's a righteous one? Who's not righteous one? Hard to know who hates you, who wants to kill you, and who really is a righteous. But there are some out there that are righteous. So you have to know the difference. And lesson number two, a righteous Gentile who mamish protects you, you're in a Medina shel chesed. So you have to have tremendous hakaras hatov and support for the American government, for the land of the free and the home of the brave, to the fact that we have religious freedom, to the police force, to the fire department, people who protect you. You have to have tremendous hakaras hatov to the Gentiles, to the Medina shel chesed, those who are protecting us. You have to have tremendous respect and hakaras hatov and appreciation. Don't bite the hand that feeds you. We're all benefiting here from living for the first time in Jewish history in so long, not under persecution. We have religious freedom. We don't have to be, you know, we can practice our religion proudly in public. That's tremendous hakaras hatov that we have to have. And the third one, just in general, forget about for non-Jews. Because in general, ourselves, as the Jewish people, not to bite the hand that feeds you. Be with the shasas mini lotishta bekala, the Gemara says in Bava Kama. How far did the rift go he wouldn't want to even paskin on a bathroom that he used the bathroom in the guy's house. He didn't want to paskin on it. How much more so our parents, hakaras hatov, we have to have for what they've done for us, for people who do tivus for us, for the bus driver who drives us, for the train conductor who drives the train. Be with the shasas mini, don't bite the hand that feeds you. Oh, two last points here. We'll try to spend 3 minutes on each. Oh, this is such an important one. Okay. Ushlosha pa'amim nemar. What does the pasuk say? Vayaminu b'Hashem u'b'Moshe avdo at Yamsuf. Ushlosha pa'amim nemar vayaminu. Kasher ba Moshe ligalosam nemar vayamin ha'am. So in Egypt, there was one vayaminu. Ki pakar Hashem esamo. V'chira onion. V'kriyas Yamsuf nemar vayaminu b'Hashem u'b'Moshe avdo. And by Har Sinai nemar, three amunos that we have in Yitzias Mitzrayim. Vidas is the Maharal, ki gimel amunos hem yisod hadas. These three amunos are the entire foundation of the philosophy of Judaism. In Egypt, he taught us the amuna. What's the the kasha chas v'shalom tipol achas mehem. If a person is missing one of these three amunas, tipol adas b'klala, you're going to lose the entire religion. Ha'achasu ha'hashgacha shehu mashkiach b'tachtonim. What belief did we acquire in Egypt that God is involved in the world? He knows what's going on down here. He takes an interest in what's going on down here. Below kamosha omer ma'aminim ozav Hashem es art. Not like I think it's the deists that say that God created the world and then he left it to its own devices. Right. Shem Kain, Lama Navod Oso, Akash Ein Mashkiach V'Tachtonim. Why should we worship him? He's not watching what's going on down here. Lifkodes Maseim, to pay back people for their deeds. So the first thing is that God is involved in the world. The second Amun Ashnias probably should have come first, but Amun Ashnias at Yamsuf, what did we realize? Shehakol Hu Biyad Hashem. God is omnipotent. God's omnipotence. Ein davar chutz mi'eno. There is nothing that God can't do. V'zeru emunas mitzias Hashem Yisbarach, that God exists. Ki bevada kol modim mitzias Hashem Yisbarach. Everyone 99% of the people in the world believe that God exists. Rak shelo yomar she'eno hakol, that he's not all-powerful. Chas v'shalom, v'yuchal lotzeis mirshuso, it's possible to avoid him. It's possible to have a power more powerful than God. It's possible to escape God's wrath. Lakach emunas mitzias Hashem yisparach shehu hakol, that he is everything and he is in control of everything. Ein davar chutz mimenu yisparach. So that's the second belief at Yam Suf, from the fact that God was able to take dry land and make it into water and take water and make it into dry land, that God is omnipotent, he's all-powerful. You can't escape his power. So again, the first belief is that God's involved in the world. The second is that he has the power to do whatever in the blazes he wants. Hemuna HaShlishis, what's the third belief, is Torah Min HaShamayim. That's what we got at Har Sinai. Hemuna HaShlishis, Sheyidaber Hashem Yisparach Es Adam, V'yitin Lo Torah. That God has a directive for us. God has a plan for us to do. He has rules that we have to follow. That God spoke to man. That's the third emunah. That God commanded Moshe Rabbeinu. That God spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu mouth to mouth. And Moshe Rabbeinu actually heard, these are the Ten Commandments. These are the 613 mitzvahs. This is the entire Torah Shebichtav. This is the entire Torah Shebaal Peh. Shas and Poskim. Everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu. V'yitin lo Torah. V'zeo emunah Torah min HaShamayim. That's the third emunah. Well, lekach, therefore. Kasher ba Moshe ligalosam. V'ra Hashem onyom v'lo azavosam. Nemar v'yaminu. Talk about Hashem's amal. V'chira asanyom. V'ze emunah sashkacha. V'kriya siyavosif. No dilem. Amidas mitzias Hashem Yisbarach. She'en davar yotzim yimei Yisbarach. V'hakol hu b'rishuso v'yicholto. He's omnipotent. Achar shahayahu mishana hayom liyabasha. V'lekach nemar v'yaminu b'Hashem. Uvamatin Torahsim v'gam b'cha yaminu la'olam harei emuna shlishis. Tzitzai brought Hashem Yisparach lahakdos lam kol emunos amitios. When they came out of Egypt, when the Jewish people was becoming a nation, this was the foundation of the Jewish people becoming a nation. Shizel ikar amovsim shasa kodesh baruch v'mitzrayim kidesh yaminu kol emunos amitios. These are the three emunos that are crucial for every Jew to have, and we find Jews leaving the faith over any one of these three. God is not involved in the world. He's busy writing tickets on 42nd Street. He's not watching what I'm doing. God's not watching. He doesn't care about the little things that I do. God is not all powerful. He doesn't have the power. Or God never really gave us a plan. Matan Torah, it's old time religion, but now it doesn't apply. And finally, Az Yashir Moshe. The Maharal, Rashi, focuses on the fact that Yashir is written in the future. So just to summarize very briefly, so he says, the reason why it's written in the future, Ratzel Sakin Ayud Shel Yashir. Right? Rashi says, Oz Kishira Hanes Ola Belibo. I think that's Rashi's language. Ola Belibo Lashir, right? Take a look inside the Rashi. Oz Yashir Moshe, page 197. Oz Yashir in the future, says Rashi, Oz Kishiranes Ola Belibo She Yashir Shira. What's Rashi talking about? Ola Belibo. He got a thought in his heart that he should sing a song. What does it mean? Says Rashi. Ratzel, says the Maharal in explaining Rashi, that's the Gorari. Ratzel Lasakin Ayyud Shal Yad Lashon Asid. Tirit de Perusha Kishiranes Ola Belibo She Yashir. Was there a Shapar Lashon Asid? The Kashim Ken Lama Kasav Zesh. Why is this relevant? It should have said, Oz Shor Moshe. Why is that significant? That first he thought in his heart that he should sing in the future. First he thought in his heart that he should sing in the future. And then a minute later, he sang. Why is that significant? The Maharal says, real song, when a person is besimcha, real song starts in the heart. When joy comes into the heart of tzaddikim, ola belibam hashira, their hearts start singing before they actually sing. The Jewish people at the Yam Suf, this wasn't just like, you know, it wasn't like trying to get high school kids to sing at a Shabbos meal, you know. It wasn't like, you know. This was like trying to get high school kids to sing when you win the basketball championship. They're going to sing. The sound comes out naturally. You don't have to get them to sing. I was at a basketball game last night. They were singing for an hour and a half straight. They were singing. There was no stop, non-stop singing. Because when they really feel excited, so you don't have to. So that's he says. Lakach ksiv oz yashir shay ola belibam lo mashira. He says a line before ki kasher yagi asimcha belev atzadikim ola belim mashir ein lecha safik ki bechol lev at Yamsuf they were singing bechol lev how you shorim smechem lakach ksiv oz yashir shay ola belibam lo mashira. The song was a spontaneous, natural, heartfelt shira. They didn't have to force themselves to sing. A song that's really besimcha, it's a natural thing that starts in the heart. It's real. It starts with profound simcha in the heart, and then the heart forces the mouth to sing. That's why it's yashir in the future tense. That's what Rashi means. Allah belibam, first it comes from a feeling that's in the heart, and then afterwards it spreads out. Like when a person makes a simcha, right? He marries off a child. So what an incredible simcha. So you don't have to force yourself to be a simcha. You're naturally flying with the simcha. You're naturally. B'tchila mischadish lo simcha gedola belev, u'mizeh Allah belibo sheyashir derech. That's why when it comes to Shira, says the Maharal, we speak about it in the future. Because it's not something that starts in the mouth, it's actually something that first starts in the heart, and you have a feeling and an experience, and that leads you to be besimcha. That's what Rashi's pointing out. So hopefully, just like in the Geula in Egypt, that we experienced, we had that deep, profound, heartfelt simcha, where we naturally wanted to sing, and our hearts first filled up with joy, we're able to sing. So hopefully if we can learn the lessons of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the lessons of Goyim that are out to kill us, we're supposed to kill. Goyim that protect us and do good things for us, we're supposed to have a Karas HaTov to. And the lessons about the three Amunas, and the lessons of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the ability to save us from all four challenges. Choli, Beis HaAsurim, Yam, and Midbar. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, any evil, any difficult person, situation the person finds himself in, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the ability to deliver him from. And hopefully we should be able to experience the same type of gula that will rejoice, a natural, profound, deep, excited rejoicing that will lead to spontaneous shira. May that day come in here, v'yamein omein, as the Pasuk says, Kimei, say something, Mitzrayim, Erenu Niflos, just like the Gula that we experience in Mitzrayim, may we experience that complete rejoicing of the Gula, may that come Meher V'yamein. Anybody want to say Kaddish? Do we have any Avelim here?